Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. I'm Derek Knight of sonofcheese.com. It's Wednesday once again, and with us, again via the magics of the telephone, it's Colin Burton of fizzlingpop.com.
Hello, everybody.
You know, I was just telling Colin before we went on the air that I had been drinking a little bit when I got home, and it was kind of a funny story, so I decided to save it till now. What happened, Colin, was that I got home after wrestling. There was a wrestling match today, and I was officiating, and I got home, and I was hungry, and I was making my dinner, and we have an ice maker in our freezer, and I don't know if you're familiar with this type of ice maker. It's got like this bar arm that moves up and down, and what happens is sometimes the ice will tower and will catch this arm, and so I'm just in the habit of shaking the ice tray to break up the ice and subsequently free the arm, and there was a large chunk of ice that had kind of fused together and wouldn't break up. So I just pulled this ice out of the tray and tossed it in the sink, and it blew up. And then I had this overwhelming feeling that I shouldn't waste this ice. And I got the bright idea to use the ice to make myself a drink.
Uh-huh.
And so I made myself up a nice margarita, and it was really a very good margarita, so good. And I was really thirsty because I forgot to bring water with me to the wrestling, that I kind of drank it fast. And I drank it so quick that I was like, well, I can just... I was also... There was the margarita mix is kind of the base for the margarita. I was almost out of anywhere, so I thought. So I was like, well, I can just make another one of those. And then there was so much ice just sitting there in the sink that I also made a big mess of piña colada. And so I had two margaritas in the space of about 2 minutes, and then this double or triple piña colada I ended up having with my dinner. And needless to say, I was pretty friggin' drunk by the time I was done with all that. And I've had some time for it to wear off, but I'm still just a little bit lightheaded. So hopefully I'll remember what I'm doing here on the big podcast.
Okay.
you okay. All right. You can go on,
Ed. Go ahead.
What's that?
Oh, nothing.
What?
Go ahead.
Okay, all right. So I just got back from Las Vegas, and it's going to be food day here on the Big Awesome Cast, because what do I do when I go to Vegas?
You eat.
I eat. I eat and I drink, and I did more eating than drinking this time out, and it was a quick turnaround. And here's a little synopsis of my week leading up to the departure. On Monday, I had a wrestling officials meeting, and so that was okay. That was after work. No big inconvenience there. On Tuesday, I had to take a half day from work, had wrestling at your alma mater, Saban Middle School, by the way.
Yeah, one of them.
And yeah, you didn't even know what the mascot is, but just for your information, they're the Saban Saints.
Oh, yes.
They're like a big Saint Bernard.
Saint Bernard, that's right.
They've got a big Saint Bernard painted on their gym wall. And then after that, I had to go straight to a football officials meeting. On Wednesday, I had to officiate a football game out in Elizabeth, which is out on the plains, way, way out of town. And so that was a bit of an inconvenience. I had to take another half day for that. And then on Thursday, I had another half day off of work and had to go out to Emerson and officiate wrestling there. And then after that, I had hockey until midnight that night, and so on Friday it was a short night. I had to get up and had another half day. Actually, no, I didn't have a half day off of work. I left a little bit early, and there was football, officiating football at Classical Academy, and then from there I went to Four Diamonds on the north end of town to watch my wife play softball, and then we went to my parents' place and played a round of cards, and then we went home, caught a couple hours sleep, were up at 3 a.m. on Saturday morning to catch a 7 a.m. flight out of Denver into Vegas, got into Vegas about 8 a.m. on Saturday, and probably pretty obvious to everybody who's listening at this point, I was dead. By the end of that week, I was just dead. It was the first flight in my life that I actually slept on.
Oh, wow.
And I was sleeping before we took off. I mean, once I hit my seat, I was pretty well out. And so that was one of the best flights I've ever had, because I wasn't even awake for any of it.
Yeah, that sounds
but,
cool.
But what we did, though, eat, and because we were so hungry, because of the whole getting up at 3 a.m. and you're kind of compelled to eat breakfast, we actually held off until we got to DIA at about 5 in the morning to eat breakfast. Or 5:30. It's probably about 5:30. We picked up some food because we were both feeling a little hungry. So by the time we got into Vegas, losing an hour, at about 9:30, we ended up having lunch, a very early lunch with Al, who picked us up at the airport. Big Al, of course. My wife's sister's fiance. Actually, no, my wife's sister's husband now.
Husband, yes.
My wife's sister's husband picked us up at the airport and then took us to Lindo Michoacan. I don't know if I'm saying that right. There was.
I don't think you are.
Well, how would I say it then, smartass?
I don't know, but that just doesn't sound right.
Lindo Michoacan. That sounds authoritative, doesn't it? They had a little how to pronounce it right there on the menu.
Right.
And I think I'm getting close. Lindo Michoacan.
Okay.
It's a Mexican restaurant that had won the best of more than one year in the Las Vegas Review Journal. And since my wife was craving Mexican, Aldi suggested this, so we went. And it was pretty good. I had the carne a la tampaqueña. I actually ordered it as the carne a la tampaqueña, and the waiter corrected me. It's the carne a la tampaqueña. But it was really good. It was a New York steak, and this was all in Tuesday's entry of the blog yesterday. It's a New York steak. I ordered it rare. The kitchen complied, so it was really good. It's topped with roasted poblano or sautéed poblano pepper strips, which were really nice. A cheese enchilada, rice, beans, and guacamole.
Right. You say the kitchen complied. Do you normally have a problem with that when you order things rare? They don't comply? They overcook it for you?
At Mexican restaurants, when you order any of the carne, sometimes they have trouble cooking it rare, especially carne asada because it's cut so thin.
I did not know that.
So, yeah, I mean, you go to a fine steakhouse, and chances are you order something rare, it's going to come out rare. Oftentimes, though, I go to a Mexican restaurant, I order a steak rare, it comes out medium. Mm. I was pleasantly surprised that it came out rare. Had a basic house margarita on the rocks, which was decent, 9:30 in the morning margarita. It works out. And so the meal was good, but the dessert...
People are going to start to think that you drink a bit.
Hey, just a bit. And, you know, that's the funny thing. I have a whole cabinet full of liquor, and I maybe have a drink at home once every month or so.
Mm.
It just so happened I didn't feel like wasting the ice today.
Yeah, because ice is hard to come by.
Hey, well, it is. I mean, you know, with all the global warming.
Can't just make more of that.
But back to Lindo Michoacan.
Okay.
The dessert is really what kind of sold me on this place that made me realize why maybe it won the best of, because the dessert was on fire. And it inspired me, because I want to create a restaurant. I want to start up a restaurant where anything on the menu for an extra 50 cents can be set on fire. Extra 50 cents, set it on fire.
Yeah, that's an awesome idea.
I think so.
Heather agrees as well.
Right.
Although,
yeah, your girlfriend Heather, my sister, wants to call the restaurant Pyros. I saw that comment.
I didn't see that comment.
Yeah.
That's funny. But I'm thinking you should probably leave the restaurant name off the menu if you're offering to set anything on the menu on fire. So you know, somebody like me will come in and say, okay, torch the place. Here's your two quarters.
Well, it's 50 cents per fire. Thank you. And it's anything
one fire
anything,
out of
any menu item, any saleable. But anyway.
Well, no, I'm talking.
So,
okay.
Had was kind of an unholy marriage of fried ice cream and bananas Foster. It had bananas and it had fried ice cream, and then it was on fire. And so it comes to the table, and in the past, every time I've had something set on fire, usually it's done with the help of a 151 proof rum, and I'm sure this was no different. I've just been able to kind of blow it out. And so I blew on this dish, and apparently I was rich in oxygen that day, because it just fanned the flames so much that it jumped at Aldi. I mean, it nearly set Aldi on fire, and pretty funny from my end of the table, because it was going away from me. But it was a really, really tasty dessert. I enjoyed the hell out of it, and I think that I would probably have to give Lindo Michoacan an A- for just being really cool and the ability to set shit on fire.
Now, which restaurants, Mexican restaurants, would you rate higher? Because you said it wasn't the best you've been to.
Right. Yeah, and in my, like you mentioned in my blog entry about this, I said it wasn't the best, but certainly nowhere near the worst. I would always rate, unless a place really, really impresses me, I would have to rate Las Delicias in Denver higher than, is the highest as far as any Mexican restaurant. The Loop... isn't bad. I think that this place was probably comparable, just slightly better than The Loop in Manitou Springs, if you've ever eaten there.
I don't know if I have or not, actually.
The Loop's claim to fame isn't necessarily its food. It's that they serve drinks in like a triple X size glass, like a fishbowl size glass. You get a margarita. But their food is still pretty good.
Is that the place that we went to when we were at the Gazette?
Yeah. You and I and Amy and a couple of people. We went there for lunch one time.
I remember that.
I don't know what you thought.
Was that the time I almost ran over that guy that was
In his weird little scooter. Scooter. He's like a cage fighter. So, yeah, I mean, there's Mexican restaurants that I enjoy more. But, I mean, just as kind of a, hey, let's go to this place, it's highly recommended. It turned out to be pretty good. And usually that's, you know, it's tough to find a good Mexican restaurant, in my opinion. What's your favorite Mexican restaurant?
I don't really know. I don't really go to enough restaurants, really.
Do you not? I mean, you like Rudy's. I mean,
yeah, I really.
I would even rate Rudy's higher than this place, even despite Rudy's limited menu and the fact that you can't get booze at Rudy's. It's just that everything Rudy's does. And for those of you not in the know, Rudy's is just a shithole of a hole-in-the-wall diner, which is attached to the Ramada Inn on South Nevada Avenue here in town. But it's run by a family from Zacatecas, Mexico, and man, is it good! And they serve apparently their claim to fame is breakfast. And the lady that recommended it to Colin and I in the first place said, well, it's for breakfast. Don't go there and have anything but breakfast. And we find, I don't know about you, but I find that their lunch is much better than anything I've ever eaten.
Actually, I've enjoyed a couple of their breakfast items quite a bit, too.
I know you on the right. Yeah, you've come in with the breakfast.
Yeah, plus it's a place where you can get breakfast at lunch if you want. They don't stop serving breakfast.
Right, yeah, they'll serve the breakfast to you any day. And that's kind of their claim to fame. They also do a mean hamburger. I kind of strayed from the norm at one point and got the hamburger there at Rudy's, and it was very good. So, yeah, if anybody listens ever in town here in the Springs and they want to eat some good diner food, Rudy's Little Hideaway on South Nevada Avenue is the place that I would recommend. But if you're, in Las Vegas and you're looking for Mexican, try Lindo Michoacan on Desert Inn.
Yeah, it's funny. The way you're saying that, it sounds like it's Japanese.
Which is funny.
I don't know why.
Which is funny because guess where we ate dinner that night? At a Japanese place. Yeah, because Heather's sister, Shannon, she had actually been in Kentucky all day. She had to fly out to Kentucky for training of some sort. She works for the city of North Las Vegas, Nevada, and they sent her out to Kentucky for some sort of civic employee training. And she didn't get back till later on that evening. And so with the reason we were out in Las Vegas to begin with was for a get-together, a party, kind of a post-wedding reception. Aldi and Shannon got married in Aruba, the tropical tourist trap that is Aruba in July. And man, airfare for two people to Aruba and a hotel, and that whole trip would have cost us a couple thousand.
Yeah.
And a trip to Vegas cost me like $400 maximum if I don't gamble. And so weighing the options, it's just like, can't make it out for the wedding, but we'll make it out for your gathering. So that's why we were there. On Sunday, it was going to be the big get-together. And so we were actually out after that, and we were able to finally take a nap because we were both so beat. We went out with Aldi shopping for the booze and some other things for the party. They had gotten a special permit from the city of Henderson, where they live, to have booze at the park, which is something I'll get to later. But after the nap and after the shopping and after Shannon got back into town from Kentucky, we decided, kind of mostly based on the fact that I said, well, let's go eat at Sumo. We decided to go eat at Sumo, which was a place that I had actually enjoyed on a previous trip to Las Vegas. It's pretty much a full-service Japanese restaurant, not unlike Konami or Sukaya, or is it Sakura? I can never remember. The one on Colorado where we
eat there? Wait.
The new sushi place.
Oh, yeah.
Is it called Tsukaya or Sakura?
Yeah, I think it's Sakura.
It's probably Sakura, because that sounds
Sakura,
more.
But I could be wrong.
Yeah, well, what the hell. But it's similar to those restaurants. It's a full-service sushi bar plus full-service Japanese restaurant. And it is just really, really good. It's in Green Valley, which is kind of it's just another section of the Las Vegas metro area. And this place, I mean, they just do such a good job. It's a typical Japanese restaurant. Everybody's friendly. Everybody's happy to see you. Service is great. The sushi was excellent. We only ordered two specific sushi rolls. One was a deep-fried California roll, which you're familiar with California roll, right?
Right, yeah.
It's kind of the basic. It's kind of the intro to sushi,
sushi
roll.
That Heather can't stand.
Right. I mean, even my sister can't eat it, which proves that she can't possibly stomach sushi.
But
you take that and you deep fry it. You batter it and you deep fry it. Mmm, that was good. And we also got a spider roll, which is soft shell crab tempura with some avocado and a couple other filler things wrapped in the rice. I had tonkatsu, which you're familiar with, which is the breaded pork cutlet with the panko,
right,
served with rice and the katsu sauce, which is kind of a fish-based sauce, almost teriyaki, but yet not. Aldi had the calamari tempura, which was really good. I mean, some of the best calamari I'd had in a long time. Usually you get calamari at a restaurant and it's just not good. You know, it's like rubbery.
Mm-hmm.
This was...
Well, you got to remember, we're also in Colorado. You can't get
I mean, even if you go someplace else, it's tough to get good calamari. But this was just so fresh and tender, and it tasted so good. My wife and her sister both got bento boxes. And at Sumo, you have three different levels of bento. You have the geisha, which is apparently for the women, which is a smaller bento. And the women bypassed. What's that?
Nothing.
The geishas, yeah.
The geishas work for the men.
They serve the men. But Anyway.
Hey, go ahead.
So they bypassed the geisha and went with the middle level, which is called samurai. And if you are really, really ready to eat and you've got quite the appetite, you can go for the sumo bento, which is just massive. They both went with the samurai bento, I'm pretty sure. Maybe my wife went with the geisha. I think my wife went with the geisha and her sister went with the samurai because, you know, they've got disparate appetites. Mm-hmm. But I tried a little bit of the teriyaki chicken from my wife's bento. It was excellent. She had a tuna roll with her bento. She enjoyed pretty well. I was just so stuffed I couldn't get around to eating everything. But, I just don't have that switch in my brain. You know, I'm sure most civilized people have a switch in their brain that says, you know what, you've eaten enough.
Yeah.
I don't have that, which is, you know, I mean, it's easy if you look at me, and my personal appearance would tell you right off, he probably just doesn't know when to stop eating. But I don't know when to stop eating. The tonkatsu was just too good. I just ate the hell out of it. And I had warm sake. I had a large warm sake that I shared with Aldi. And, you know, as far as sake goes, have you ever had sake?
No, never.
Have you ever smelled nail polish remover?
Yes.
If you heat nail polish remover up, you've got sake. But it was pretty good. I mean, it was a lot like rubbing alcohol with a little bit of a fruity taste, and it was pretty decent sake. I mean, it's hard to go. They did have premium sake on the menu, but I wasn't going to pay $20. So I paid $6.80, I think, for the large, not-so-premium sake, which wasn't bad. Loosened up the conversation a little bit. It was a little sake. Everybody had a good time. Aldi and Shannon were both laughing. My wife was laughing. It was funny because it depended on who we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say, I was talking about Shannon and Heather.
Mm-hmm.
Aldi would laugh. Yeah. Shannon and Heather would laugh. But there was laughter going around. It was a really good meal. I would give Sumo definitely an A+ as far as that goes because they're just so good on all phases of the meal, service up to the food. I mean, everybody's so friendly there. And really a decent value. I mean, you know, pretty typical of what you're going to pay for Japanese food anywhere else. I mean, it's not over-the-top expensive like you would expect in Las Vegas. It's pretty decent, pretty decently priced.
I would say I would keep it in mind for the time when we eventually get out there. But
you'll get out there.
Well, but no, no. The reason I'm saying that, not much point, is Heather can't stand seafood.
Well, she can't stand sushi, but there's other things. There's the katsu.
Yeah.
They have chicken and pork katsu. They've got the teriyaki chicken. I mean, these are things that Heather can stand.
I know. But, we'll see.
We'll be in Vegas.
There'll be all kinds of things to try, you know?
Well, definitely, yeah. I mean, and I'll give you a list a mile long that by the time you get to Vegas.
Right.
And you'll get there. I mean, you want to talk about an affordable vacation.
Yeah.
There's nowhere you can go in the country that costs less to get to than Las Vegas.
I speak.
Okay. Smartass. I'm talking about someplace you gotta fly to. I mean, yeah, for you and I, Pikes Peak, we can see it from our window. That doesn't count.
You said it, not me. I mean,
and talking about more food,
right.
One of the places that Heather and I had eaten at kind of the last time we were there was Memphis Championship Barbecue. It came highly recommended. It's, you know, I guess it's won many, many barbecue competition awards. They've got, I think, 4 or 5 locations in the Las Vegas metro area. And we had made a point to go to eat at that place the last time, but it turned out we were kind of running short on time. We had to go pick up our tickets to see Penn and Teller the night we went to have dinner at Memphis Championship Barbecue. And so, as it turns out, we couldn't actually finish our meal. Andy and Andrea, who we were at the restaurant with, we gave them money and had them get boxes for our food because we had to cut out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a place that we wanted to go back to because we didn't feel like we got to enjoy the food, you know, thoroughly.
Right.
And lo and behold, Aldi and Shannon found a caterer for their party that would do it for cheap, and it turns out it's Memphis Championship Barbecue.
Well, awesome for you.
So we got to have a limited selection from their menu at the big get-together on Sunday, which included their macaroni and cheese, which was pretty basic, pretty mac and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing special, nothing to write home about. There were pulled pork sandwiches, which were kind of dry. Not enough sauce on the pulled pork sandwich. I probably could have asked for more sauce, but I would expect the meat to be moister than it was. The chicken, though, the chicken was so good that it was, I think I ended up with a whole breast portion, you know, bones and everything.
Right.
And I looked at my plate after I was done eating the chicken,
mm-hmm.
and there were about half the bones left on the plate that there should have been. That's how good this chicken was. I was just ingesting the bones along with the meat.
Well, that'll come back to haunt you later, but
I don't think it will. I've done that since I was a little kid. Just bones? Who the hell cares? Just chuck, crunch them up, and that's why I grew up so big and strong.
Yeah, okay.
Turned out...
Well, I'm thinking probably it would probably be a bit better if you were actually there rather than catered, because...
Oh, yeah, I mean, definitely catering...
Maybe I'm wrong.
Right, well, certainly if you have something catered, it's going to sit around.
Well, that, and they also might not do as... Because of the larger group with different tastes, they may not. They may skimp.
You don't think that they're going to spice it up as much?
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know. I mean,
well, and really, the two people that showed up, the two people that showed up were, in my book, real winners. I didn't really have the most faith in them. And Aldi and Shannon had actually paid extra. Like, they had reserved a bartender from this company who was going to run the liquor end of things, and they didn't bring anybody out.
Really.
So I ended up having to run the bar.
And they paid extra for that?
Well, I think they were able to get their money back for that. Or
not
pay that part of the money, because, yeah, I was actually the one mixing drinks, if there was drinks to be mixed, before we had to leave for the airport, obviously. And big thanks to everybody's favorite bison, Andy Kelly, who took us to the airport. We had an 8 p.m. flight out of Vegas. It was delayed a bit. But while we were in the airport there, McCarran Airport in Las Vegas, we did see somebody famous.
Oh, yeah?
And you're supposed to go, ooh, who?
Ooh, who?
His name is Gerald McCullough. You're probably thinking, who the fuck is Gerald McCullough? He's an actor. He's a television actor. He's acted on such shows as Beverly Hills 90210, Seventh Heaven, but he's most famous, and people would recognize him most for his role as Bobby Dawson, the firearms expert on CSI. And the only thing Heather and I could figure was before our flight boarded, the flight prior to ours, one gate over, was going to Burbank. And as people know, if they, you know how television works, CSI Las Vegas is only very few parts of that show is shot on location in Las Vegas. And then the rest of it is usually shot on a soundstage in Burbank.
Right. You're killing the magic for millions of people.
I know. That's what I do. I'm a magic killer.
Yeah.
But so the only thing we could figure out, because I didn't want to go up and say, oh, my God, I love your character. You're so cool. I mean, I was so disinterested after I figured I was like, okay, I know who that guy is. And I told Heather, and she's like, oh, my God, you're right. I was so disinterested after I figured it out that I didn't even bust out the camera and take a picture. But the only thing we could figure out was that he had missed his flight to Burbank.
Mm-hmm.
That somehow he was either here for – he was either here in here. He's either there in Vegas for a good time, or he, you know, or they were shooting some on-location stuff in Vegas, and they all had to get back to Burbank, and he somehow missed the flight.
Maybe he just wanted to hang around a little longer. You never know.
I don't know. I mean, well, it was a situation where he was sitting at the customer service desk, and I'm sure they were trying to work, you know, and he was on his phone the whole time telling people, hey, I'm not going to make it. So we saw somebody famous. We've seen more than one famous person when we're in Vegas. I've seen Pierre Lacroix, general manager of the Avalanche. I've seen Brett Hull, whom I hate, and I had the opportunity to say, hey, Brett Hull. And he looked and smiled. I said, you suck. I've also seen Iron Mike Tyson in the airport at Vegas. And now I've seen Gerald McCullough. I think my life is complete. I could die now a happy man.
You think so, huh? Nobody else you want to see.
Right. But like I said, our flight was delayed a little bit. Although I will say this, Southwest Airlines did a really good job. They got us out of Denver on time. Flight was great. They let you choose your seat. You check in 24 hours prior. You can start checking in online and print your boarding pass online. So if you're not checking bags, you can skip the counter altogether and go straight to security, which is a great help. And if you check in early enough, you're in boarding group A, which means you get to board the plane first and choose whatever the hell seat you want.
Well, that's awesome.
Because it's not assigned seating. Yeah, it's not
I'll
bad.
I'll take the pilot's chair.
What's that?
I'll take the pilot's chair.
Yeah, okay, anything but that. But we were in boarding group A both times because we're both, you know, we're also internet savvy. And it really is a good flight. And even the delayed flight on the way back to Denver from Las Vegas wasn't that bad. I mean, they did a really good job of getting people off, getting us out of there. Although we did get into Denver on Sunday night, actually, so Monday morning around midnight. And I'll tell you what, it was friggin' cold. And we were dressed for Vegas. And so I had T-shirt and shorts. Actually, I had a hockey jersey on over my T-shirt. And I had to give that to Heather. And then I had to bust out, like, sweatpants out of my backpack to give to Heather because she was so cold. So I'm sitting there in sub-freezing temperatures and it's raining on me in a T-shirt and shorts waiting for this stupid shuttle bus to get us back to our stupid economy lot.
Mm.
And I nearly, oh man, I was just
see,
about
maybe next
dead.
Time you should like take coats and leave them in a locker or something.
They don't have lockers.
They don't have lockers?
You know, that sounds like a, well, they do. But here's the deal. Because of the security threat level,
it's an internet.
Of Homeland Security threat level, all the lockers were off limits.
You mean just they have them and you can't use them, huh?
They have them, but nobody can use them.
Neener, neener, neener.
Yeah. I know, exactly. So that was a great thought on your part, but execution could not happen.
That sucks.
I think the next time I'll just bring a damn jacket and put it in my backpack and not wear shorts back on the plane when I know I'm coming back to Colorado in October.
Right. Although, it's been getting cold here kind of early, I think.
No, this is pretty typical, I think. Yeah, this is pretty typical. I mean, I remember back about 10 years ago, the only month we didn't have any snow whatsoever was July. There was a day in June that it snowed and a day in August that it snowed.
Yeah.
It happens. I mean, this altitude, we're over 6,000 feet. Anything's possible. But anyway, I'm still tired from that. I haven't had a chance to really kind of reset and get back to normal.
I'll bet you are.
But yeah, I drank a little too much when I got home tonight. I'm not doing too bad.
That's good.
But last week...
What?
Last week, I made the mistake of calling Easy Cheese aerosol cheese. And thanks to you and your intrepid investigative techniques, I want to set the record straight.
Man, I just stumbled across that, but yeah, okay. Give me all the credit
you
want. It is
not a true aerosol, and the credit actually goes to Wired Magazine for caring enough to find out what exactly is inside squirt-on cheese. And as they say, it's perfect on a cracker, almost too perfect. Explore the secrets of one of the world's most unnatural foods. And I definitely agree with that statement. It's like the devil. It has no reason to exist on Earth. But what is inside is whey. And apparently the cheese-making process removes 80 to 90% of milk's moisture, some of which is in the form of liquidy whey protein. And this byproduct is usually thrown out, but Kraft puts it right back into Easy Cheese to increase volume. Can you say filler? You're supposed to say filler.
Filler, yeah.
I knew you could. And then they, of course, pass the savings on to you. So basically, the whey, which would usually be thrown out, is put into Easy Cheese, which tells me this is the ultimate white trash food. Also inside, canola oil, it keeps the cheese from solidifying. Salt, which increases the osmotic transport of moisture, speeding up the cheese drying process and inhibits bacterial growth. It's a preservative. Sodium citrate, which exchanges ions with calcium in the milk and softens the water-soluble portion of the cheese. Sodium phosphate, which is a degreaser, and also in other applications in the real world, is a urine acidifier and an enema ingredient. But inside Easy Cheese, it's an emulsifying agent, which I'm glad it's not a urine acidifier.
Or the enema thing, yeah.
Right, yeah. Well, I guess you could just stick Easy Cheese up your anus and give yourself a cheese enema.
God, that's horrible.
But some proponents of natural cheese cited sodium phosphate specifically when lobbying to have Kraft's product regulated as embalmed cheese, which I think might be my new subheader. It's especially specifically for the month of October, you know, the spookiest month of the year.
Exactly.
But the Fed settled on the slightly less mortifying processed cheese over embalmed cheese, although I would buy embalmed cheese. If they would call it embalmed cheese, I would probably buy
it. Put it in a little coffin-shaped can.
That, oh, my God. You have no idea. You know that would be on my shelf if they did that.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Also inside is calcium phosphate because sodium phosphate tends to make calcium unavailable to the body. So Kraft actually puts calcium phosphate in to make Easy Cheese slightly more healthy and so that they can label every can an excellent source of calcium. It also contains lactic acid, which is a bacteria usually found naturally in milk. It digests the milk sugar lactose and produces lactic acid. It tastes a little bit sour because that's how apparently taste buds interpret hydrogen ions, which is in every acid. It has sodium alginate. You know what that is, Colin?
If I was looking at it, I would, but no, I can't remember.
It's seaweed extract, and apparently every good processed food has some seaweed extract. Easy Cheese, no exception. The alginate is a gum which is found in the cell walls of brown algae. It is flavorless but increases viscosity and apparently prevents thermal breakdown.
Well, there you go.
I'm lying about the thermal breakdown.
That's from some oil. That sounds like Pennzoil.
Yeah, it's like the Pennzoil commercial. So maybe they use sodium alginate to increase viscosity. I don't know. And here's one that I'm going to have trouble pronouncing. Apocarotenol. It's yellow-orange pigment. Pretty much gives the shit its color. It's found in spinach and citrus fruit. Enhances the color of processed cheese. Otherwise, it would probably be an unappetizing color of, like, pasty gray.
Now, I was wondering with this E. coli that was in the spinach, if that's going to affect their... they're adding that or not.
I don't think they actually get it from pressing spinach. I'm sure they buy it kind of like in an already processed form.
Well, of course it's already processed, but it has to be processed from something that has it, right?
Well, no, it's found. It says it's found. It doesn't mean that's where they get it from.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, look at you thinking. You're thinking too damn much.
Am I?
But But the reason I brought this up and the reason I really wanted to tell the world this is because last week I mistakenly called Easy Cheese aerosol cheese, but because the can is not a true aerosol can because the food never comes in contact with a propellant, I was wrong. The can actually has two sections. The bottom is filled with nitrogen gas and the top with cheese. You press the nozzle and the nitrogen pressure pushes the cheese product out of the can, and the nozzle is notched for two reasons. Do you know why they're notched?
Yes, I do, because I read that article.
Tell me.
So that you can push it up against the cracker and still get the cheese out.
That's correct. And also it makes a pretty little floret pattern.
And it makes the,
right.
Yeah.
But, more than the pattern, more than the pretty pattern, it's so that there are gaps so that you can't just – if you pressed it up, it won't explode. So they won't be like backfire. Bam! Blow off your hand. But a big thanks to Wired Magazine, particularly Patrick DiUsto, for the information. And big thanks to Colin Burton for digging up such just – gold, as far as information is concerned.
Well, you're big welcome.
Yeah. And guess what?
You still there?
Oh, I'm still here. You there?
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I was hearing absolutely nothing from you. You there?
I'm there. I'm here.
Okay, I think somehow we're like really out of sync now or something.
Okay, well, guess what? We're out of time anyway.
Well, okay then.
So... thanks for joining me, Colin Burton, on the big-time Son of Cheese half-hour power hour. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Okay, kids. We're going to be back again next weekend, and guess what? Or next weekend. Next week on Wednesday. And you know what? We're going to have, like, stuff. And we're going to do some cool shit, I guarantee it.
We are?
Woohoo!
Woohoo!